Brother Kendrick, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe we relate, many of us relate to that analogy. The idea of us wanting to be in control of certain parts of our lives, yet giving other parts of our lives to Him and allowing Him to have control over those. I'm not meaning to steal Brother Berglund's thunder, but I don't feel like I can let this lie. People like to compartmentalize their lives. And they look at their life like areas of a grocery store. I got the produce aisles over here, and I got the fresh foods over here, and the meat department over here, and the dairy department over here. And I got all these different departments in the store of my life, and I want to compartmentalize these. I want to, you know, God, you can mess with the meat department. You can mess with the produce department, but stay out of the baked goods. And I'll allow you supremacy in this part of my life, and I'll allow you supremacy in this part over here, and I'll allow you to be Lord of this part of my life, but of this other part of my life, you can have no entrance and no say over that. And whether we know it or not, that's how a lot of people, I won't clump us in the room here because we're all good people, that's how a lot of people see God and see their own lives. They compartmentalize it in the sense of church over here in this part, work over here in this part, school over here in this part, and friends over here in this part. And they bring those hands or those different compartments and they lay them out before the Lord, and it's like they say, well, whatever I can control, those are the ones that I'm going to keep in my possession. And God, you can have these, Lord. I need you to come in. I need you to get involved in my relationship with you. And Lord, I want my church relationships and my church attendance and all those things. I want you to bless that. And when I come on Sunday, I need there to be Holy Ghost goosebumps. And I want to get high on Sunday at church and worship and have a great time. But while you're at it, go ahead and bless my job. Help me to get promotions. I want to make more money. I want to do all these things. But now, my friends, I'll hang out with who I want to hang out with, and I'll connect with who I want to connect with, and I won't give you any say over that. He wants control of everything. He's either God of my life, he's either Lord of my life, of every part of my life, or he's not God at all. He's not Lord at all. And I know that that's not how our minds think. We think, well, you know, this part of my life's going really well. You know, God's in control in this part of my life. Me and God are okay. That's not how he sees it. He wants everything. Amen. He wants my finances. He wants my time. He wants my family. Brother Chamberlain started off by talking about casting all of our cares upon him. And we think about that with regard to all my problems. You care about Joshua, don't you? I care about Hadley. I care about my wife. I care greatly about my wife. But I can't protect her from God and say, I care so much about her, God. Be careful what you do with her. No, every morning when I get up, I have to cast all my cares upon him. That means my family. That means my children. I care greatly about them. There's things in my life I care greatly about, but I find myself having to release those things over to him. He wants all of it. I can't say, here, God, you care for my money and you care for this, but my kids, I got that under control. Stay out of their lives. It doesn't work that way. It scares me. It absolutely scares me to have to pray prayers like, God, whatever it takes in my family's life to see them saved. That scares me to death because I don't know what the next phone call may be or the next text message may be about. That scares me. But I either trust him or I don't. I either allow him to care for me or I allow him to care for certain compartments of me. And he wants it all. People are so stressed out about things nowadays. People are so fearful. They're worried about their kids. I worry about Hadley. I'm not standing here saying, oh, I got it all figured out. I look at that kid sometimes and I think, Lord, have mercy on me. But in the same prayer, I've got to cast her on Jesus and say, you gave her to me. You have the ability to take her away from me if you so choose. And so I have no choice, Abraham, but to lay him on the altar.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's not mine anyway. I wish I had the ability, Brother Berglund, to make them. I can make you go to church and I can make you live for God. I look at 2.5 years old and I think, What do I got to start now? She comes to church and she sings and she worships and she sings so much at home it drives us up a wall some days. She loves Jesus to the extent that she knows how, but you know, I can only lead her so far. And then I have to put her in the hands of Jesus. And I have to trust him with her. There are times that my sisters have gone astray. They've gone their own way. They've done things. And as big brother, I've looked on at them and said, what in the world are you doing? Why are you going down this path? Why are you making such poor decisions? But then I find myself at the end of the day with the only hope I have is to cry out to him. And if I'm going to pray, I can't say, well, God, I want you to help them. I want you to touch them, but be kind to them. It just doesn't work that way. I have to 100% release it to him. I gave my parents fits. I drove my mother up a wall. I can't tell you how many nights I woke up in the middle of the night and saw the lights on and heard her out there praying. I know she was praying for me. I found a note the other day in my office going through some things. It was a note my mom had left on my pillow one night after a Bible quiz tournament. Wrote me a note saying, I'm praying for you. And those years of my teen years were some of the craziest years of my life. And if it hadn't been for a praying mom and a praying dad who put me in the hands of God and said, God, we gave him to you when he was 1 year old or 6 months old or whenever it was. I was dedicated to him. We gave him to you then. We can't take him back now and say, you can do this, but you can't do that. And I had to go through some hard times and I had to endure some really stupid decisions that I made, but all along through it all, I knew I was in the hands of God. Amen. The world has misconstrued the scripture that nothing can pluck you out of the Father's hand. There's reality to that in salvation, but not the salvation new birth message. Just because things aren't going my way doesn't mean I'm not in his hand. Just because my life isn't going as I have planned it doesn't mean I'm not in his hand. He wants to be Lord. He wants to be Lord of all today. 2 Corinthians 12, that was free. Thank you, Brother Berglund. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. This is Paul writing here to the church. I knew a man, everybody say I knew a man, in Christ, above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. I'm going to read that without the middle. Go back to that if you can, Brother Kendrick, for a second. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Paul's telling his own story. He had a vision. He doesn't know if he was in the body or out of the body, but he was caught up into the heavens. He's testifying, giving a shout out. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise. Boy, we all love paradise nowadays, don't we? And heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now, verse 7 and verse 8 are very common scriptures in the apostolic church. We've taught about these scriptures. We talk about these scriptures. I've quoted these scriptures to people. I quote them to myself. It's good to be in remembrance. But Paul here kind of reminds me of modern day with all the tools we have in social media nowadays, Twitter, Facebook, social cam, Google connections, Google circles, MySpace, his space, her space, everyone's connected. I mean, there's Foursquare. I mean, whatever you want. And people put on those things. They use those mediums to give victory reports. We call them victory reports. Or prayer requests. And they cast things out there. They put things out there on the blogosphere, out there on the Twitter sphere. They tweet information out there, and they, it's whether they know it or not, they're putting out there, look what God's doing through me. Look what God's doing for me. I'm not here today talking about that. I'm just using it as an example, okay? But rarely have I ever seen somebody say, man, I got a thorn today. Man, I'm being buffeted today. Temptation's overrunning me today. I'm about to cave to temptation. I'm under a load today. Now, people do, on the contrary, people do like to use Facebook for prayer requests. Again, I'm not here to talk about that today. I'm just using these as examples. You know, someone will post a comment, pray for this, and 34 people underneath them say a prayer in the comment section. They must be linked to God, and I'm not. But Paul here is telling his testimony. He's got people running the aisles. He says, I don't know if I was in my body or out of the body, but I was caught up into paradise. Woo-hoo! I went on a trip, as they call it in the drug world. And I was hallucinating and I was seeing things. I'm exaggerating. But he was having a good time. I was caught up into paradise, and I saw things and I heard things that I can't even utter, and I was given revelations. I was allowed to see things that human eyes shouldn't see, and there were angels walking around me. And I've heard through my lifetime, I've heard several people who have died and came back from the dead. One particular man I served on the youth committee with, Craig Warnicking, fell off a ladder in South America somewhere while on a mission trip and said he died. Someone there confirmed that he died. He was dead. The Lord raised him back up. He came back and he was telling the stories of people that he saw, visions that he saw men that he knew, people he didn't know but knew of them and described what he saw to the individuals. And they said, yes, that's him. And he saw incredible things. And that's what Paul's describing here. Paul says, I don't know if I was caught up into paradise, if I was in my body during that time, or if I was out of my body. I don't know what it was, but either way, I heard and saw things that I probably shouldn't have. And there are things that you haven't seen, and I got to see them, and whoa! And if you're lucky and the Lord releases me, I'll share it all with you. But then he goes into something that this is something that is a missing element in the apostolic church today. He tells his testimony. You know, we have, and this is totally unrelated. I called on Brother Chamberlain, Brother Berglund to testify to it. This is totally unrelated to that. So don't think I set you guys up. Didn't know we were going down this road exactly, but here we are. It was not a setup, I promise. Very rarely do you ever hear, if ever, do you hear somebody say, man, the Lord took me, and he did this with me, and he did that with me, but he was worried that by showing me all that stuff and giving me all these revelations and letting me see that incredible vision and let me experience incredible power, he was so worried about me getting too puffed up and becoming so arrogant in all that he had done through me. Verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. I've got so much revelation. I've got so much understanding. I've been given so much power. I've been given so much authority. God was so worried about me that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. He's saying, God sent these things to me. Satan was, I'm not making this up, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. We blame everything on Satan. People get on Facebook and social media. They don't ever say it in church, but they're free to say it on there. The devil's attacking them. The devil's doing this and Satan's doing that. Acting like he's running loose on his own, out of control. Paul said there was a messenger of Satan sent to me to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. At the end of the day, Paul, at the end of the day, sir, at the end of the day, ma'am, we're all still human beings. If you're looking for a trouble-free life, there's the door. Keep looking.
That's right.
I'm human. You're human. There's going to be bad days. I got up yesterday. I wasn't exactly happy. I'm human. I looked outside. I said, man, I'm getting old. I'm tired. You want to testify? I don't feel like running out on the front porch and clicking my heels up, playing a kazoo and running around on a unicycle. I'm just not feeling that way today. If you're looking for that feeling, you're in the wrong place. What I can guarantee you, there will be revelations. There will be understanding. There'll be plenty of things to tweet about. There'll be plenty of good days to kick up your heels and play kazoos about. But there'll be just as equal of things that make you scratch your head and say, God, what in the world are you doing to me? Why are you allowing me to go through this? What is it that you're trying to teach me through all this? The next time you're feeling buffeted, remember, he sent a messenger of Satan to buffet Paul so that he could remind him, you're still just flesh and blood. I've seen person after person. I don't know who this is for today. Receive it how you may, but I've seen person after person come to God, receive the Holy Ghost, get baptized in Jesus' name, and they're just like, whew. They're telling everybody everywhere they go, they're witnessing. People are crying. How do I get this? That soul winner's zeal, new convert zeal. And they're just like, oh my goodness. If you get in their way, they're going to mow you over like a brush hog. I mean, they're just, Have you been baptized in Jesus? Have you received the Holy Ghost? No, I haven't. What? How do I do it? And they're just bringing people every Sunday with them, and then they get a little bump in the road. Little something comes up, and a little something from their past flares up. Wait a minute, what's going on with that? I thought that was gone. I've seen that send more people down a crash course. I've seen that little blip destroy more people in my lifetime than out and out people just backsliding, going off into drugs and alcohol and giving into temptation. It's like they can't figure out, I gave my life to God. What is wrong with him? He wants us to remember that our strength is in him. There's nothing that I do, there's nothing that you do that is of our own volition. Verse 8 says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. This doesn't always apply. But remember, Paul was writing this to the church as an example, not a prayer request. He wasn't saying, start a prayer and fasting chain 24/7 for me. I got a thorn in my flesh. No. He understood what the thorn was. He had spent enough time alone with God. He had enough of a relationship to know when, this is the Lord. I'll be honest with you. I can't say I'm there yet. There are some days where I think, God, get me out of this, 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 get me out of this. In my noon, I'm going, okay, I accept it. Whatever it is, I accept it. Sorry, it took me 6 or 7 hours to figure that out. You're not going to bail me out. This wasn't a prayer request. This was a proclamation. Some of my troubles are sent from God, and the others are probably brought on by myself. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength. Everybody say my strength. This is the Lord here. My strength is made perfect. There's not a whole lot of anything in my life that's got perfection. I'm far from perfection, just ask my wife, and I'm far from a perfectionist. You can ask her that too. There's not a lot perfect in my life. Not being perfect doesn't bother me. Things don't have to be in order. Things don't have to be in place. But God says, my strength in your weakness is perfect. If you're a perfectionist striving for perfection, get weak, let his strength take over, then you'll be in perfection. You won't find it outside of him. You won't find it outside of his strength. That's why people in ministry who try to perfect and practice and perfect and practice and perfect and practice and perfect and practice and perfect. We're going to sing this song in music practice 5,000 times because we're going to get it right. And I'm going to read through my notes 5,000 times if I'm going to speak today because I got to make sure I hit every point. I read a blog the other day. I don't know why I did. Don't ask that question. I read a blog the other day on how to memorize your notes. That's all I'm going to say. There's no perfection outside of his strength. I don't care how much memorization I try, how much study I put into it. He is perfect when I'm at my weakest point. When I feel like I've been buffeted so much between 5 or 6 a.m. when I got up this morning and when I get the mic, I've had to fight through so much garbage just to be able to open my mouth and say, it's good to see y'all today. It's in that moment that he's saying, yes, I got him right where I want him. Amen. I need 45 minutes of practice. I need 67 minutes of prayer before I step into the pulpit. And he says, do you trust me or not? Keep asking for him to remove it. And I'll keep putting it. I'll just, three times you want to ask, I'll leave it there. And I'll keep reminding you every time that my strength is perfect at your weakest point. It's taken almost 9 years to get to this place, but I, you know what? The harder the fight, sometimes the more excited I am to get up here. What's he gonna do today? What's he got to say today? Because I know that's when he's perfect. When he gets me at the end, when I got nothing to say, I got nothing to do, and there's 75 of you out there looking at me like, so what we got today? That's when he's perfect. And that's when you get exactly what you need. And you walk away saying, my goodness, I got fed today. Whether it's Chamberlain or Berglund or Garcia or Kendrick or Heiner or Schoonover, whoever's holding the mic, I got what I needed today. That means he found somebody at their weakest point and said, I can perfect my strength. I can perfect my word in that, through that individual today. Right. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather, everybody say, I'd rather. I'd rather not have trouble. I'd rather have enough money to pay my bills. I'd rather have enough money to put gas in my car and not have to drive on faith. I'd rather have enough money to buy food. I'd rather have enough wherewithal to know when I'm having bad days and not have any. I'd rather not have any bad days. I'd rather not have any troubles. I'd rather not have all those things. That's just me. I'm just human. If you're different, come take the mic. But I'd rather not have trouble. And I'd rather have all those things that I talked about before. But Paul got to a place where he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's a trade-off. Infirmities, troubles, human weakness, power of Christ. Human strength, human ability. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the greatest of orators and the greatest of studies and scholars can't have the power of Christ. I'm just saying it's harder for them. Some days I like being ignorant, Brother Berglund. Some days I'd prefer to be ignorant. Because then this thing doesn't get in the way of what he wants to do through me. Verse 10. It just gets worse. He's just making me feel worse and worse. Therefore, I take pleasure. I just went to paradise, but I'd rather have infirmities. Thanks, Brother Paul. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For nothing am I behind the very chiefest of apostles, the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Let's stand. He said, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. There is no such thing as a trouble-free life. There is such a thing as grace, though. There's no such thing as no problems, problem-free. There is such a thing as grace, though. When Brother Middleton was out here, he had a little statement. We'd pull into a parking lot. There'd be a parking spot at the front. He'd say, favor ain't fair, but it's real. I chuckled at it. I thought it was kind of funny. But it's reality. Grace is for real. The idea that Christianity promotes that there's going to be no problems, that's not real. His grace is, though. I can guarantee you grace. That's why every book, think about this. Start reading in Romans and go all the way through to Colossians, Philippians, all those. Every book, Paul said, grace be unto you. He couldn't guarantee him anything but grace. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the strength to overcome it. He'll give you the strength to get through it. I know it seems devastating right now, and you're thinking, how can I even make one more step? How can I take one more move? This is debilitating. His grace is sufficient. Paul obviously heard the words. He heard the letters of all the distress that the church was in, all the persecution the church was under, and the battling back and forth between the Christians and the Jews and all those things. He heard about it. He saw it. And all he could say was, His grace is sufficient. His grace be unto you. His peace be unto you. That's all they could offer. We're going to worship the Lord here in song. I'm going to open up the front and invite you to come. If you want to come and talk to the Lord today, receive a fresh touch of His grace. Receive a fresh impartation of His grace in your life today. Thank you, Jesus.
You wrestle with the sinner.
From the very